It's been a decade of heartache for June and Barry Steenkamp, who tragically lost their daughter Reva, aged just 29, when she was shot and killed by her then-boyfriend and Paralympic athlete Oscar Pistorius.
His murder trial was closely followed by millions around the world as every minute of the legal argument was broadcast live on South African television. Oscar Pistorius continually maintained in court that he thought Reva was an intruder who had broken into his home. It's a story that he still stands by to this day.
10 years on, and Barry Steenkamp has come face to face with Pistorius in prison as he seeks to be granted parole in just a few weeks' time. And June and Barry join us now. Today, June and Barry, thank you for joining us. This must be such a difficult day for the two of you. 10 years ago, I'm sure today, uppermost in your thoughts is remembering your lovely daughter, Reva.
Yes. Missing her so much. Every day seems like yesterday it happened. It's very hard for us. Because we loved her and she loved us and she spent a lot of time with us. And now we're still grieving for her. People who have lost children, it takes a long time for you to settle down and to get to know that they're not going to be around anymore. But we really, truly, and you know, we just love her so much and miss her. So part of our life is gone. And we'll see her one day. But that's what we look forward to.
We spoke when you appeared on our programme before, about 16 months ago. Since then, you made the very difficult decision to meet Mr. Pistorius as part of the South African Victor Offender Dialogue programme. I know that, Barry, you did attend that meeting and read out a letter from June. June, you didn't go, you left it to Barry, understandably. I just wondered, when you had that meeting with Mr. Pistorius, do you think he understood in the conversation you had the pain that the two of you have gone through? And did he understand why you can't forgive him for what he did?
I'm sure he felt remorse. Naturally, anybody who has been in prison and you've killed or murdered somebody, there's always remorse after that, excepting for the odd person who doesn't care anything. But I'm sure that he did have remorse after shooting Reva. When I went to the VOD and met Oscar, I asked him certain questions. You know, all June and I wanted to know was the truth, what we feel was the truth, that he actually killed her because of anger. I didn't get the answer that I wanted. So, you know, it didn't take very long. It could have taken us the whole day at the VOD, but it was shortened by me stating that we aren't getting the answers that we want, and we'll leave it at that. And that we leave to Oscar. Now, only Oscar knows the true story. And let me also, I just want to put something straight. It was in the news a couple of days ago that Oscar was wailing and crying like a baby. It wasn't wailing and crying like a baby. Tears came into his eyes, yes. But it wasn't that dramatic that he was wailing and crying like a baby. Yeah. It was really traumatizing for myself and also for June that wasn't there. June couldn't wait, you know, for me to get home to find out what had gone on. I don't think June would have been able to go through the VOD that day. So I'm quite pleased she didn't go along with me.
Can I ask
but my lawyer, our lawyer, Tanya, went along with me, yes.
And can I ask you, June, why you decided not to go with Barry that day? Because it must have been tempting on some level to at least, as you say, look him in the face and try and get those answers finally after a decade of denials.
Yes, it was very stressful for Barry. We were all worried about him and if he would survive the whole conversation, because it was very, very tiring for him, and he hasn't been well lately. And the thing is that I wrote a letter to him because I was actually afraid of what I would do if I went there, because I was thinking naturally that I would want to, well, maybe I didn't know how I was going to react, but because of that, then I decided not to go, and my psychologist told me that she didn't think it was in my best interest to go. But then I wrote a letter for Oscar, which the person was there to read what I wrote to him, that he'd taken, you know, the most precious thing that we got from God was Reva. And all the things that he'd taken away from me were a grandchild, Reva's wedding, her wedding dress. She would never be able to do her law degree. She had a law degree. That was gone. Everything that he'd taken away from us. Yeah. And that's when he became emotional.
And of course,
as Barry said, he wasn't wailing. Yes.
And of course, you now have to countenance the fact that he may well be released at some point on parole. What are your views on that now, having been in the same room as him, Barry, and not being satisfied with the answers that you were given?
You know, what I've previously told people, if he's due for parole, let the law take its course, so long as it's all done legally, to the day, then I'm sure, you know, everybody's entitled to parole at a certain time. And a lot of people think, you know, parole and then you're out. It's not as easy as that. You are still virtually in prison because you have to report to the police station. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. But besides that, I'm not against the parole taking its course. Closer to the time, we will hear when he's due for parole and that, and then we will most probably think differently of the whole situation. I don't know. But from my side, I feel let the law take its course. And, you know, from there, if he's entitled to it, let him be out on parole.
Barry, you said that that Mr. Pistorius didn't give you the answers that you wanted to hear. If he had been able to show real remorse and had explained to you what happened, could you then, do you think, have found it within yourselves to forgive and to support early parole, or is that just too difficult a thing for any parent to have to deal with?
You know, once he comes up for parole, let's just go back a little bit further. You know, I feel that if Mr. Pistorius had told the truth in the beginning, we don't know. We feel it's not true with the version that he gave. But I'm sure he would have felt a lot better. The public would have felt a lot better. People would have forgiven him quicker. And it's a very difficult situation, yes, very difficult. And as I said, if he's due for parole, let them go ahead and, you know, go through the whole course of the parole and let it be, so long as the thing is done legally. And
June, can you, I mean, this is a day to remember Reva, isn't it? Tell us about her. and how you remember and honour her memory today of all days, but I know every waking moment of your life for the last 10 years.
All right. The first thing that I initially, after the court case, then I just wanted to sit and cry and be upset. But then I thought to myself, no, I must do something. I must do something myself. I can't sit and cry. Rather do something. So that's when I they became, I made the Reva Rebecca Steenkamp Foundation Against the Abuse of Women and Children.
You and your attorney,
yes.
Tanya.
With Tanya, and Olga.
And Olga.
Yes.
Well, you're turning your grief you're turning your grief into something positive for others. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, we thank
you. We're already helping women with trouble with men, and we go around to schools and give
the
little girls, and then we give bursaries to final year family law.
Well, it's extraordinary that given your deep loss and your grief that you can do something positive for others amidst all of that. And we thank you both for being willing to talk to us about your experiences as of this last year or so. I know that the cameras went in with you and that there is a documentary about that too, which is also very brave to do. Thank you, both of you. And we wish you all the best on this day and our love to you.
Much love and strength on this day to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
Are we discussing Paul Holes? My true
what
love.
What podcast does he have? I used to listen to
him. Is that who it is?
Was it the Murder Room or the Murder or something? I'm not sure.
The author with the dark hair that narrates some of that crime stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We saw him the other day.
Yeah.
We're live.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to dive right back into our Oscar Pistorius case. We've been batch recording today. And I want to get into the prosecutions. We've got my sister Elena here, best friend Susan's here, mom, of course. And there are key pieces of evidence that can be interpreted either way. Now, it's important to know, I did not know this, that they don't have jury trials in post-apartheid South Africa.
Really?
They did away with them.
Why?
Apartheid. So the judges decide the case. And then a judge will have appointed two others that help her collect the facts, go over the evidence, etc. And then the judge will decide the guilt or innocence and then the sentence.
You know, there's some cases, though, we've gone over and or I've seen that I wish it was the judge deciding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would have been important on probably the Hendricks case.
Mm-hmm. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
What's that lady killed her kid? Casey Anthony.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Don't even get me started
on
her.
We can't do that case.
No, I won't.
Okay.
Okay, so the prosecution, this is their evidence. A neighbor hears a man and woman arguing for an hour before four loud bangs. Reva had food in her stomach when she died. The pathologist stated that she ate within 2 hours of her death at 3 a.m., directly contradicting Pistorius' claim of going to bed at 10. However, digestion is not an exact science, so we saw that in the Hendricks family murders.
Right.
But they're saying that she would have eaten closer to her time of death because of the rate of digestion.
They get up and snack some. I don't, but I know people that have.
True.
Whole meals, even.
I don't know if she did.
Right.
And if they knew what she ate, and that's what's in her stomach, then it wasn't a snack. It was her meal. So I don't know, was it liquefied? Did it still look like food? Because this is important, because if they heard arguing, then they hear the loud bangs. We've got the scenario that Susan is telling, you know, us that she believes happened. If she ate closer to her death and it was the meal that he said they both ate, then her death within 2 hours of her death at 3 a.m., that means they were up past 1.
Right.
So that would make everything he said from 10 on a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know what the food looked like. I don't know if the neighbor, you know, confirmed hearing a man and woman arguing. That's what the prosecution says. They also said it is, all caps, impossible to believe that Pistorius did not hear Riva go to the restroom. He also states he doesn't believe Pistorius that it was as dark as he said because he could find the jeans to put over the LED light.
Well, if the LED light was on, all he'd have to do is put the jeans over it, he'd see. Right?
Maybe. I mean, it's not. It's suspect, but it's not
right.
Proof to me.
Is that the prosecutor saying all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The prosecution states that the couple were arguing in the bedroom and that Riva fled from Pistorius and locked herself into the toilet with her phone. Why would she take her phone to the toilet if it was in a middle of the night situation?
That, and I thought it was peculiar that she locked the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She locks the door and she takes her phone. Now, we're ladies. Well, hang on. We're ladies. We've all gotten up in the middle of the night. You're trying to stay asleep. If you bring your phone, it's going to wake you up. The only time I've brought my phone is if I know it's going to be a while. You know what I'm saying? I got some Hershey squirts coming, or you know, something of that nature.
Are you a lady?
Or if, you know, I feel like I'm going to be sick to my stomach, I may take my phone if I'm going to be sitting there for a while. But I cannot think of one time, and I'm 50, that I took my phone with me in the middle of the night to the bathroom.
Not one time.
And I cannot think of one time that I locked the door when I was married.
No, can I say this? This has nothing to do with the case. This is the truth. Every time I go in the bathroom, I lock the door. Every time.
Do you take your phone?
Yes, I have. In the middle of the night, if I've gone to wee, I've taken my phone and played on my game.
To pee? To pee? In the middle of the night?
Yeah,
no wonder you can't sleep.
And then I just go back to bed. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you're weird.
That's weird.
Or look at Amazon or...
Yeah,
no wonder you can't sleep.
I have done that.
How many times?
I don't know, honestly.
I don't ever take my phone near a toilet.
I have done it at least five or six times.
In the bathroom. I'm just not.
Yeah. I have. I will. I'll play a game or go on Amazon.
I will in the day, but not at night. Yeah, I want never. To stay asleep.
In the middle of the night, you want to like keep your eyes closed. You're going to try and stay in that sleep realm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not me.
That's why you don't sleep. Two things. Either she was scared, locked herself in the toilet, or she was doing something shady behind his back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I thought of is, let's say that it's so hot and she just can't sleep.
Right.
So for her, she's up. So she's going to go to the restroom. She's going to take her phone. She may be one that locks the door because she wants privacy, because they weren't dating that long. You know, so maybe she didn't want him to come in while she's on the toilet. I could see that. And so she's in there on her phone, like, hey, I'm up for the rest of the night.
I guess I'm not a lady.
I could see that. But that is why I can't say he's innocent, because that's weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear what the listeners think. I mean, obviously we have the one weirdo at the table.
Well, no.
So it's one out of four that takes her phone 5 times out of her life with her in the middle of the night.
It could be more than five. Yeah, I'll do whatever. And then I go back and I'll lay down and I sleep, go back to sleep. I don't know, 15, 30 minutes sometimes.
That's not good for your brain.
But I locked the door because when I had my own apartments, I was by myself and I always locked the bathroom door. Always.
So you
and if Steven wasn't here, because he can't hear on that ear, if he's sleeping, I always lock it. It's like, what if someone come in, he doesn't hear?
Yourself
there's a window I can jump out. I've always done that. Always as long as I can remember, always lock the bathroom door.
Well, how long have you been married?
I can 25 years. I can see that someone would lock the door, especially if they're in a new relationship. You know, they probably still want the privacy and not have someone walk in.
Not after you've been having sex with him and doing who knows
having
what.
Sex different, is totally though. You're going to lock the bathroom
door? So, yeah. Going to the bathroom is way different than having sex.
But here's the thing. Again, the only thing I can think of that would explain her doing both is if, number one, she wanted privacy and that's just who she is. And number two, she'd already decided she was up because it was too hot to sleep. If she was not going to go back to bed, I could see her taking her phone with her while she's sitting there using the restroom. But if it's in the middle of the night and she wants to go back to sleep, I just don't see it. I just don't see her taking her phone.
It is a privacy thing, too, for me.
Well, I'm talking about the phone now.
Well, I'm just saying, because I have never gone through Steven's phone. I don't open his mail. It's private in the bathroom. I've always had that rule. He does the same for me. I've never gone through his wallet.
No, but what does that have to do with her taking
her
phone?
You're private, by going in the bathroom, locking the door.
Okay.
You know.
I still think my two scenarios are possible as well.
It is. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing something wrong or you're running for your life.
Yeah.
That's the only two possible scenarios.
If she wanted to keep it private.
Right.
But if we go with when she was killed, this is in the middle of the night. So, again, it's just kind of weird to, not only is it the middle of the night, but you're having these, you know, behind the door conversations. You know, it's just weird. He's up. It's not like he's asleep and she's sneaking out and going to the bathroom. He's up messing with the fan, supposedly. And then she decides to take her phone with her to go to the restroom. I don't see that. I could see if he was sleeping and then she's like, I'm going to, you know, talk to my ex-boyfriend or something. I could see her doing that, but he's away moving around. I don't know. It's just a little bit weird.
So, listeners, please let us know your bathroom habits.
I'd love to know their bathroom.
For real. Yes.
Minus, you know, descriptive procedures.
You wake up in the middle of the night, need to go pee. Do you lock the door? Do you take your phone?
Yep.
And if you do take your phone, you need to research that because it's really bad for your brain.
Yes.
And hormones.
And bacteria all over your phone.
Or is there a difference between a number one or a number two? Do some people just take their phone if they know they're going to have a number two?
In the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's people even in the day when you go through a public bathroom, they're in there on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
And on speaker.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The prosecution is also saying it's impossible that Riva would not have responded to his yelling. Five neighbors said that they heard a woman screaming before the gunfire.
Five?
Mm-hmm. In his bail hearing, he said that he fired at an intruder, but in court, he states that he fired by mistake. They point out that this is proof his testimony is unreliable, but I think both could apply.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be an intruder and he fired by mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Johann Stipp said he saw a light on in Pistorius' bathroom when he heard the shots, contradicting that the lights were off.
Mm-hmm.
But other reports state that he was woken by the sound of gunshots and a woman screaming. So which is it? Did he wake up and see the lights on, then heard the gunshots and screams, or did he hear the gunshots and screams and then the light came on?
Is that the doctor?
I don't know.
Said that?
Dr. Johann
Stipp. Yeah, so he had two.
Yeah, so again, which is it? Because you've got the one where he says he wakes up and he sees the light on, then he heard the shots and the screams. But then you have in other reports where he says he was woken by the sound of gunshots and the screams.
And that's the court documents where he had two different stories?
I think his court document was one story, but the reports have it both ways. So I don't know which one is which.
Okay. The neighbor doctor.
I couldn't get to the court documents.
But couldn't you also see the fact that on a lot of shows it says, you have 10 witnesses see a car, and this is different, and it can be different color, different make. They all have a different.
Oh, eyewitness testimony is hugely unreliable.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm, you know, I mean, but you still can't discount it.
Yeah.
No.
And so they're looking for anything that contradicts him. And so the prosecution is saying the lights were on. The doctor saw the lights were on. And so because the lights were on, this whole intruder thing is crap. Because Pistorius said over and over and over that the lights were off.
And so,
so this is a prosecution's case.
Yeah. And so you just have one doctor, maybe one time, saying that they were on, the other time off.
That they were off.
Or were the reports not from the court records, right? Mm-hmm. So is it the media twisting how they want the story to go? Yeah. Or are they talking to people who want Pistorius to be innocent?
Right.
So we have five neighbors that say they heard a woman screaming before the gunfire.
Yeah.
Then we have a potential light on. Now, the screaming was a big deal because, so me and my ex one time, let's see, Kent was probably about maybe 7, 8, he might have been 10. We were driving down the road and we're in the front seat, Kent's in the back, and Kent says, "Mama, my tummy don't feel good." So both me and Mike turned around and said, "Do not throw up. We'll pull over." When we turned back around, there was a car like right there. Both me and Mike screamed like girls. Even Mike sounded like a girl. Thank goodness he's able to slam on the brakes. We laughed so hard. Forgot Kent and his vomit. We were laughing so hard. And so if you're in that heightened panic because you realize you just shot your girlfriend, I could see how even a man's scream could be mistaken for a woman's.
For a woman's.
But they said that they heard the screaming before the shot. So they also could have heard his screaming because supposedly he was screaming.
Yeah, see? See what I mean?
Five people said a female, though.
Yeah,
and if they heard him and he was that loud, supposedly she
didn't hear him and didn't say anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there were two iPhones and two Blackberries belonging to Reva and Pistorius on the bathroom floor.
Oh. Oh.
Why all four?
She took them in there.
Check his phone.
Dang.
Check his phone.
Why did she take hers?
She did. They were all
No, why did she take hers if she was just checking his?
No, I think she grabbed all the phones. As many as she, because they were both on her side, and she just grabbed phones and ran to the bathroom.
Ran.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. So they say it's because she was trying to escape.
Yeah.
There were blood spatters on the duvet.
Splatters, not drops. Yep. How far is the bathroom?
I don't know how
far. The door was shut when she was shot. So how would the blood splatter go through the bathroom?
Yep.
Well, he did carry her downstairs.
Especially splatter, but he didn't go through the bedroom to get her downstairs.
Why did he carry...
So they say, this is what they're saying, that the duvet was on the floor, not on the bed as he claimed, and there's evidence, and it's evidence of an altercation in the bedroom. So they're thinking that he got physical with her in the bedroom, by the bed, she grabs the phones. He can't run as fast as her on his stumps. And she gets in the toilet and locks the door.
Well, I think he took her down there, Susan, to be closer to the EMTs when they came.
See what I mean? This is why it's a freaking black hole, man. I'm like,
it is.
This, that I'm going to pull my hair out.
Nope. Yeah. That splatter.
Yeah. So, but I couldn't find any pictures of the splatter, but...
Yeah, is it the, again, the news?
It's the prosecution's case. This was their case against him. There was blood splatter on the duvet in the bedroom.
But there's no pictures.
Well, there might be. I just couldn't find them. Like, you can't find all the court pictures.
Because, you know, prosecutors do
twist things to fit their narrative.
Oh, they can. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would have loved to see if there's pictures. I would love to see that'd be 100% duvet. For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's blood on that duvet, for sure, to me,
you didn't find any.
Wouldn't they have to produce the pictures in order for that to be a viable statement to the judge?
Yes.
Wouldn't they
have
to?
You have to have evidence supporting your...
Right, so you can't just say it and not have the photo to show you. But with the police and everybody trampling in...
This wasn't trampling. This was splatter.
It could happen.
No.
Not splatter.
No, not splatter. Splatter is she's getting punched in the face and the blood splatters. It's not drops. It's not smears. Mm-hmm. It's not transfer. It's splatter.
I feel like you're being biased, Mom.
No, I know. No, I'm keeping an open mind. There are some good points. But we both know prosecutors and defense can make things, you know.
But they
and
have say to if there's support just a, their statement
Yeah,
with
but
proof.
There could be blood on there, but it could be their wording.
Comforter.
You know what I mean? Splatter.
So the defense case, they agree with his timeline of events. They say that he opened the balcony door, he moved the fans to cool the room. Other reports, including from his testimony, say that he moved to close the doors, not open them to cool the room, which we read earlier. Now, I think if he was opening them, I could see Reva opening the bathroom window to get some cross air going on in the sleeping area. But if it was to close, then he was going to muffle the sounds of what he was about to do.
Sherry, did they take, do you know if they probably did, took pictures of his hands?
Oh, yeah.
And knuckles and all that?
They have a full picture of him covered in blood.
I'm not.
I just wonder if there's any.
I can't see that well, but
do you have your glasses?
Well, I don't, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think about that.
No. It's like if you wanted to see if there was more bloodier shots, but I'm not seeing any comforter or duvet.
Which
like any bedroom shots.
Well, I thought maybe his hand, if he punched her, would be.
Maybe. But this is a picture of him. You can see the blood on his shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his prosthetic legs on.
And he splatters.
And then they have the footprints or the blood. They have him walking in court, which is another one. They wanted to know if he could walk on his stumps in court. And he could. He was dripping sweat, which I thought was very interesting. There's another one where I don't know, for some reason your phone's not loading the other pictures. It's a scene of him crying so hard in the courtroom.
It's
he has snot coming out of his mouth. Like he looks genuinely, or out of his nose, he looks genuinely
distressed.
Well,
he was crazy in love with her before she even liked him. He was already fixated on her, so I could see
him being upset.
I could see that.
It'd be interesting to see some of those emails too. If she said some of the same things about loving him or
she did.
Well, she did.
Yeah. There's texts.
We already have established there were 1,700 texts.
Yeah.
90% of them were loving.
I'm really surprised there's not more photo
of the crime scene.
Bedroom. Because if they're going to allege the whole splatter on the duvet thing.
So, like, if he got up to move the fans into the room, shut the balcony doors, we know that he said he had to go open the doors to scream, right? So they were closed.
Okay.
That means he closed them.
Do you see anything on them?
Oh, comforter? There's a bedroom.
So, if it's hot,
there's
you're
going to
close the door? Aren't you going to open the door and put the fan to get the breeze? Why are you going to shut the door? Mm-hmm. And it's hot as hell in there.
He said it got too hot, I think he said, right?
Right, but when
you
open
fans in, maybe.
And put the fan in the
inside.
Oh, I thought he was opening, like he wanted it to be cooler in there.
Mm. Well, he did, but he went and got the fans from the balcony, brought the fan in, and then shut the door because the door was open. Mm.
And I want y'all to look at this. This is a diagram of the house. So this is a layout. I meant to have that up for you guys. And it shows like the hallway. It's not bloody at all. It's like just cartoon figures. And it shows the hallway and where all he would have had to have gone.
I thought you had that.
I thought I did too. But so we know that he did not go over there to open the doors. He went over there to close the doors, to bring the fan in, to close the doors, because he then said he had to go back and open the doors in order to scream for help. I can see, I have been in Florida at the height of summer where it's so humid, you think opening a window will help, and it makes it worse.
It does.
You might as well just shut
it. Because you're blowing heat.
It's awful. Mm-hmm. And it's actually better to suffocate with them closed than it is to keep things open.
So I don't see splatter, but I see Oh, that may be the buttons of the duvet. That's the buttons of
the
duvet.
Buttons. Okay.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
They had to have the pictures of the duvet in court and show the blood splatter.
Yeah.
So to me, if anyone else was saying that, it's one thing, but this is a prosecution's case.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then they said that she went to the bathroom, as you know, I believe that she did, and that he was unaware because it was pitch black. They believe that he did hear that, you know, noise of a window opening. thinking that Reva was still in the bedroom. You know, everything goes down as he says, is what they're telling him, or what he's believing. The defense is saying that happened. Okay, now here's the mistakes. This is what is very frustrating with the police. The first officer to arrive on scene was Detective Hilton Botha. On the second day of the hearing, he contradicted his own evidence and admitted to procedural mistakes. He said that one witness was 600 meters away and heard screaming. Later, he said the witness was 300 meters. And they said, well, the witness actually was only 700 or 177 meters. So for us Americans, the first is 980 feet. The second is 580 feet. No, I'm sorry. The first is 2,000 feet, then 980, and then 580. So which is it? Okay.
And that's who?
The detective.
The detective.
So a football field is 300. Okay. So at the most, we're looking at possibly two football fields away. The neighbor, Michelle Berger, is the one that said she heard Reva screaming in Pistorius's toilet. But the reporting on this was definitely bent to Pistorius, so I don't know. An acoustic engineer said that Tess said the screams wouldn't have been heard that far away by the neighbor, and it would be hard to tell if it was male or female. So they're saying it was a little bit far. He also stated that the trajectory of the gunshots were fired downward directly toward the toilet, contradicting Pistorius's testimony that he was not wearing his legs.
Repeat that.
The gunshots were fired downward, directly, implying that he had his legs on.
Wait. How high does it say?
No, it just says, I mean, I'm sure they did in court.
Oh, yeah.
But in my notes, the trajectory is that they were fired downward,
mm-hmm.
not straight.
Which could be.
He had his legs on.
Okay. Or he was. Didn't want to kill anyone to scare him.
No, he wasn't that short, though. I would like to know the distance, because in the court, whenever he had his nubs.
Well, that was stumps. On your phone.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not on here.
He was actually still decent height.
Do we know how tall he was?
But what they're saying, they're not saying that, you know, his height so much as... When you measure him without his stumps,
right. The
bullets were higher.
Right.
So he would have been on his prosthetic legs. So they're taking into account his measurements. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're not just trying to guess. They're like, if he is saying he doesn't have his stumps, the bullets would not be this high up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that is a little bit interesting to me.
I would still like to know the distance, because... I don't feel that those prosthetics gave him that much height from what I saw when he was walking on his stumps in court. Because to me, it's just like the Michael Peterson case. They just said about the blood splatter and how they felt like the trajectory, where it landed, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to have prosecution that's going to... take evidence that really isn't there to fit their narrative.
Well, I'm not sure how, like, I can get on the blood splatter deal, but I'm not sure how this could be a narrative, because it's math. You've got him this tall without his prosthetic legs. So when he shoots, even if he's shooting down, it's going to be significantly lower. So they would know his measurements to know the trajectory, where if he was to shoot without his legs, he'd have to be shooting like this.
Yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying. If they did that, if they did their due diligence, or they were just throwing out words, narrative.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea if they're just throwing that out. I'm assuming the judge would want the measurements. She would mm-hmm. want the trajectory. She would want to know his height, all of that. I mean, maybe not at South Africa, but I'm assuming that they did possibly those things where laser stuff so they could figure out where the height of the shooter was.
Yeah.
But again, it is South Africa. I don't know if they did
that. But their justice system and
He also admitted that investigators missed a bullet that hit the toilet bowl and that they walked through the crime scene without protective boots. They also claimed that they found testosterone in needles in Pistorius's room, but it was actually an herbal remedy. And before the trial, Botha was charged with attempted murder himself when he and two other officers were accused of firing at a taxi with seven passengers in it while they were
drunk. Oh, my gosh.
Dr. Stipp testified that he found Pistorius praying over Riva because he was raised in a Christian home when he ran over after hearing the shots and the screams. He said that Pistorius said that he shot her and he thought she was a burglar. He also told the security guard that he thought she was a burglar and that when he and his daughter showed up, Pistorius was coming down the stairs with Riva in his arms. He said that he was, quote, broken. He was screaming. He was crying. He was praying. I saw the truth that morning. The defense claims that the gunshots witnesses thought they heard was actually Pistorius smashing the door with a bat.
Okay.
Oh.
I could see that because you got hard wood hitting other wood, and I could see that that would sound like a gunfire.
How many times did he shoot?
I think four, and then he kept banging on the door and, you know, finally got the hole in there. Was he screaming and they thought it was a female when it was him? If that's the case, they heard screaming and then the bangs, then they could say they heard screaming and then what they thought were gunshots. See what I mean?
Didn't think about that.
Every time you think you have it figured out, it goes way to the other side. So I could see that. Now, if it was other materials, if it was other materials, I'm not sure. But wood on wood can sound like a gunshot.
Yeah. But a gunshot's very distinct in the fact that four gunshots.
Especially with a marble floor, too. Be a different sound. Amplified. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just
crazy.
Yeah,
when you think one way, I think, well, maybe so. And then you'll say something else. I'm like, no, back to my original.
But we do know that gunshots in quick succession are very different from a bat hitting a wooden door. But do other people.
Right.
I don't know. Because so I can tell.
Four gunshots. Then he supposedly is screaming. Then he gets the bat. Then he starts hitting the door.
Yeah. So they're thinking that the neighbors might have thought that, because they said they heard the scream, then the gunshots. And so they're thinking that maybe it was him screaming and then him hitting the door.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because he realized she was in there.
There's also a dispute on both sides and the witnesses concerning when he put his legs on.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, he had to have them on when he was hitting the door because he would have had no balance. If he said dog would knock him over.
And no leverage with the bat. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. So he had to have had his legs on.
Does it show a picture of the bathroom door?
Yeah. Let me get it up. I'm trying to find one that's not. Let me zoom in.
Oh, man. I got taco sleeps.
Oop.
Right there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of blood. I'm trying to get the one where there's. So here's the door.
Damn. So where did he hit it with the bat?
I don't know. Oh, right here. The panel's missing. So he kept hitting there until he got it off so he could unlock it.
Oh, yeah.
But the... I don't know. That seems low to me. Okay.
Well, it's higher than the other one.
The other what?
Panel. Like, you would definitely go for that higher one. So yeah. He'd have to have his legs on.
It just seemed, like, pretty close to that actual door handle.
Well, the door handle's up there. Yeah, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have their door handles up by the top. I don't know. It's South Africa.
Low, that like looks, the midgets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Midgets.
That hotel.
It was ridiculous.
Wow.
So they did bring up the text. They had a former girlfriend that testified that Pistorius was abusive and locked her in the house once without any food. Okay, so I could see that being a point of concern, but one girlfriend, you know what I mean?
Right.
No proof. He only dated one person before Reva. I don't know. It just seems a bit weird to me. She texted him that night and said, "You are an amazing person with so many blessings, and you are more than cared for." Pistorius then said, "Stay tonight if you like." Does that sound weird?
Well, no.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Especially Valentine's night. Not that I do that, but...
So you are an amazing person with so many blessings, and you are more than cared for. And his response is, "Stay tonight if you like." He doesn't say, "Thank you, baby." He doesn't say, "That means so much." He's not like, "I love you too," or "You're a blessing too." He's just like, "Stay tonight if you like."
It could be weird, but I'd have to see more emails or context. Texts to see if that's just how he talked or not. I couldn't base it on one.
What it sounds it is like weird, to me, though. Is that she's reassuring him after an argument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds
too.
To me.
Yeah.
So, it's weird.
It is.
Now, how he acted after the killing and during his trial for me is unusual for someone guilty of murder. This is one of the things that, it's not evidence, but it make it really hard for me to be able to process things objectively. When he was arrested, he burst into tears. During the court proceedings, he regularly broke down sobbing and wailing, his entire body racked with sobs, that they would have to stop the proceedings to calm him down. He even vomited when her autopsy photos were shown.
He was man full of fear, though.
Yeah.
Look at his whole career, everything he's worked for, mm-hmm. everything about him.
But I don't think that extreme would be, you already know your career, but when you love someone and you've done that.
Well, and the fact that he vomited at her autopsy photos, that's a little bit interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I've not heard of a murderer doing that. Even in a fit of passion, I'm sure it's out there. The social worker and probation officer assigned to him stated that he was heartbroken and genuinely sorry for what her parents were going through. He also vomited twice in his cell when she sat with him during his bail appearance and cried 80% of the time. So it could be fear, for sure. A mental health...
Wait, who sat with him?
His social worker and probation officer.
It could be fear. It could be...
He's sorry he did it. And he's what have I done? Like guilt,
like he felt bad after.
He loved her, but it got out of control. I mean,
or maybe he just felt bad. It could be all. It could be, you know, he felt so bad he loved her and he didn't mean to do it. He did mean to do it, or his job.
He still felt bad.
It could be all three.
A mental health evaluation said that he suffered from an anxiety disorder stemming from his childhood, from his mother's overcare for personal safety, his parents' separation, his father hardly ever around, and that his disability meant that he would fight more than flight. Another clinical psychologist said that he was severely traumatized by the events and suffered from PTSD and a major depressive disorder, plus he was mourning Reva. He did discern some jealousy and insecurity, but not abuse. He couldn't find any signs of abusive coercion and that he might have times of displeasure and irritation, but would work it out. Mm. So personally, I don't think he should have had a firearm.
Yeah, 100%.
So the judge, and here's the verdict, and her two assessors unanimously decided that the prosecution did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Pistorius intentionally with premeditation murdered Reva. They also ruled out common murder, meaning that he didn't see that he would kill the person behind the door. Instead, he was found guilty of acting too hastily and used excessive force. Therefore, he was convicted on October 21st, 2014 of culpable homicide and sentenced to a maximum of 5 years in prison. What this meant is that he might only serve 10 months. Sure enough, he was released August 21st, 2015, after serving 1/6 of his sentence. But the story does not end there.
No.
What happened next? It ain't allowed in America. You know what I'm saying? The prosecutors appealed the verdict. Prosecutors cannot appeal verdicts here.
No.
Yeah. So they appealed the verdict on the basis that the judge misinterpreted the law when she cleared Pistorius. The Supreme Court heard the appeal on November 3rd, 2015, and the prosecution won. On December 3rd, they stated that the judge did not correctly apply the common murder rule and that Pistorius did not fear for his life. Justice Eric Leach stated that since Pistorius, had firearms training and used a high caliber weapon, he would have realized that whomever was behind the door would die.
I disagree that the interpretation was wrong because of that and that he had high training and wasn't in fear.
Well, no, but what they're saying is that it's how their law is. So common murder means that the judge said he wasn't guilty of that because he wouldn't know that he'd kill someone behind the door. Well, the other judges are like, of course he would know that he would kill somebody behind the door. He has firearms training.
But something was said about fear.
Yeah, they didn't think he feared for his life.
Gotcha.
This is such a tough one. So they found him guilty of murder. They put him back in prison for 6 years. That wasn't enough. So that in 2017, the Supreme Court added 9 years for a total of 15. And then he was paroled January 2023.
So it was
I agree appealed. With that. I think that was justifiable.
It was appealed by the prosecution. He goes back in jail. How did the Supreme Court
and the Supreme Court decided it wasn't enough.
They had but another how appeal. How did they?
I have no idea.
Based on the interpretation of the first judge that
but
they
you had
didn't
to file an appeal or something.
This was amazing to me as an American. Number one,
we don't do that.
That the prosecutors can appeal. Number two,
which I like
that. You could just add years.
Like yeah,
I was shocked because once you get your sentence, that's your sentence
yeah.
in America. You don't get just. Oh, that's not long enough. And a judge just tacks on another.
Yeah. He's reading a magazine, see something he doesn't like. Another 6 years, please.
Well, yeah. I'd like to know how it got to the Supreme Court. But also, it's like, why is crime so high there? Like, you
yeah.
really don't stand a chance, apparently.
I guess
no.
not.
Yeah.
Now, I want to share one more thing. And this is going to be disturbing. It's an article from the Daily Beast. And I want y'all's conclusions. This is how the places she was struck. I think it was important first, like where she was hit first, then where she was hit. So she'd been facing the bathroom door when she was struck by 3 black talons, a kind of bullet that expands and mushrooms automatically
Holy
when it hits
shit.
A moist target like flesh. So she ain't on the toilet. She's facing the door.
Yep.
She ran, locked herself in.
And
he fired. And
she
yeah.
was cowering.
Holy crap.
She wasn't standing
Those
up.
Those bullets, when they go in, they explode in. They are meant to
damage.
Kill you.
So her back was to the door facing the toilet.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
No,
she was
facing
the
door.
So the toilet is here.
Mm-hmm.
The door's here. So she was here facing the door.
When no. she got shot.
You potty, you stand up,
yeah.
you're headed towards the door.
I don't think she was standing up.
It, sitting down, though, it could still hit her.
No,
you're
well,
facing
she
the door sitting.
She wouldn't
right?
have been sitting on the floor.
I
she would have
example.
Been crouching.
Yeah.
So the first bullet went and hit her right hip, shattering the bone, and that forced her to double over. Oh, maybe she was standing. So she goes to empty her bladder. She's facing the door about to walk out. She gets hit in her right hip. It shatters a bone, forcing her to double over onto a magazine rack that was beside the toilet. The second bullet missed her, ricocheted off the cubicle wall, and caused fragments to scatter across her back, inflicting several bruises. From then on, the order of shots fired is unclear. But what we do know is that by the time Steenkamp was in what Magina called a defensive position, her arms were braced in an X across her head, which explains why the webbing of her left hand was lacerated as it interrupted the trajectory between the bullet and the right side of her skull. I'm of the opinion, after this wound was inflicted, my lady, that she dropped immediately. The fourth blow fractured her humerus so severely that it caused what is described as a 360-degree freedom of movement and arterial spurting, which explains the serpentine blood trail down the staircase, according to the blood spatter expert as he was carrying her down.
What's the hermidium?
Huh? Humerus?
Yeah, what is that? Where
That's
is
your
that?
Funny bone.
Huh.
Humerus.
Mm. Okay.
Or would this be the humerus?
No, I think you're right.
So evidence of blood spatter, broken hair pieces, and tissue debris were scattered across the toilet in such a way that one could only conclude that Steenkamp's head must have collapsed against the toilet bowl. Her blonde hair and shorts were soaked in her blood. So if the first bullet hit her hip, she would have been screaming.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But could he hear her over the bullet?
And his screaming.
The gun going off. So I just don't believe she didn't say anything.
No.
She would have bled out in minutes, and then she would have been incapacitated by the head wound. The serpentine blood trail down the staircase is interesting because how? You only have arterial spray as long as your heart's beating. So was she still alive when he was carrying her down the staircase? Which it might be because he was trying to open her airway.
So she could breathe.
So
why do you ask why? Because she was still bleeding.
Yeah, she could. Well, I thought she was dead in the bathroom. And then he carried her down and he was trying to do life-saving measures. But she was already dead. But it sounds like when he was carrying her down the stairs, she was still alive. Mm-hmm. Especially if there was arterial spray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, arterial spray.
The reason that's important to me is he was trying to save her.
Yeah, I agree. You could also freak out, realize what you've done, regret it.
Didn't mean it. I'm going to try and save her. It's going to last ditch effort to undo what was done or something.
Yeah, it was way too late for that.
Yeah.
I think if he did it on purpose, he probably would have made sure she was dead because it's over now. His life's over.
Yeah.
So, but that is kind of interesting. So, I do believe legally his crime did fit under the common murder deal, that he had enough firearms training to know that if he fired a 9mm with those bullets into that bathroom, it was going to kill whoever was in there. So I think that was just. Now, adding, you know, years because you feel like it, I don't know about that.
That is strange.
And then I don't know, though, if it was intentional. And I don't know why she had all the phones.
Suspect.
That bothers me.
The phone thing, for sure.
I think
maybe she didn't trust him. He was going to go through his phone.
Get closer. All four?
Mm. No, just she was running for her damn life.
You wouldn't take your phones, though.
The blood splatter?
Yeah, you would take That's your only lifeline.
Yeah, your phone, but not all four. If you're running for your life, you can get one, call 911.
Again, if you don't know which one's yours. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that she went to the... I don't know if she was scared. I think she was looking for something.
Yeah.
So you think that she went to the restroom and she was going through his phone?
Through his phone.
Yeah, especially locking the door.
But he would maybe been I'm not the one a lady. That was jealous.
I know. He's she the didn't one seem like she was.
That would have been doing that to her, especially because she met her boyfriend 2 days prior. He'd have been the one getting them phones looking to see what she'd been
but
doing.
But we don't know what happened in the past, so she might have had reason
before.
Yeah, we do.
Before. We have their texts.
Well, yeah, but we don't know all the text is.
Yeah, they do. They have all the texts.
I know, but we didn't. I'm just saying she could have been looking through the phone.
I don't think so.
Taking all
I'm
four.
I'm with Susan on that. I do not think that she was looking through his phones. The phones bother me. Okay, so let's say that she gets up to use a restroom. She empties her bladder. She's turning to walk out of the bathroom. He thinks it's an intruder. He shoots her. Did he take all the phones in there? Did he grab all of them to call 911?
Mm-mm.
Like, why are there all those phones?
Oh, actually, are you done? Sorry. Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Mom? About you started to say something about the phones and whatnot.
No, I would think if you're grabbing a phone to call 911, you'd grab your phone.
Of course, it was dark.
Yeah. But not you all would four. Know you had four. Four but would be hard to hold.
His wasn't his phone. No, his phone was on his side of the bed.
But here's what I was going to say. If all four of them were in the bathroom, he said that he called the ambulance. So he's just going to leave it there in the bathroom?
Possibly. If he's, you know.
And the BlackBerry?
See, what I think is, I think, I'm not sure all four were in there. Because in the pictures, I don't see all four phones. In all the pictures I went through, I see one on a towel.
Is that in the court documents or is that media with the four phones?
I don't know where I got that.
But we don't know what was on the other side of that toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Because all we can see is toilet yeah. and blood. So well, if she had those phones.
They had pictures of, oh, they did. Yeah, on, of all sides. So here's what I think on the phones. I don't think all four were in there. I think one was in there and I think it was his. And that he called 911 from it, dropped it, and carried her down the stairs. So, Elena, where are you at? I mean, if there's blood splatter on the duvet, if anyone can please let me know right. and send me a picture, all that's in the show notes. If there's blood splatter on the duvet, he 100%.
Killed her.
Yeah.
If there's not blood splatter on the duvet, I actually think he thought she was an intruder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the media is going to splatter, no pun intended,
right.
Pictures and the evidence. And we had to search different things just to find the comforter. And there, I didn't see any blood on it. So if that were true, if it really was part of the trial, there would have been pictures to back it up.
There would have been. Yeah.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
The screaming, his story saying that he screamed, you know, she would have yelled back. Even if she, whether she'd been in the bed or the restroom, he would have heard her.
I don't know.
Mom, come on. You're but in the bed. Steven, call 911. You go to the bathroom. Steven, call 911.
But if I was screaming.
Yeah.
Myself, I don't know if I would hear anything.
It could be very chaotic if he was yeah. screaming and yelling.
Your mind would, so I would think, I can't close go with off. That I can't, yeah. Now, if there was a blood on the bedspread, 100%. But this other can all be explained either way. And I just don't, I think it was a horrible accident.
I'm on the fence. I can't decide.
I can't either. Dang it. Susan, you're are you still guilty?
You already know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would love gone wrong. I think, I didn't think he woke up that day to kill her. I think they got into an altercation. She got scared. She ran to the bathroom. I think from there, everything progressed.
Okay.
I don't think he, like, well, I'm going to kill her. I don't think it was like that. But I think they got into it. She was breaking up. Whatever happened, that's what I think led to that whole thing.
And I would love if the food was a greater science for mm-hmm. us, because if she did eat closer to her death, then we know he's lying about the timeline.
Yeah.
And that would seal it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
But food digestion is such an iffy science that it's even hard to go on that. So I think the only conclusion I can come to is that it was right that they appealed the sentence. The common law was the correct judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's freaky weird that they add the yeah. years just because they can. But I do think based on their legal system and how they did it, he actually got what the law prescribed.
Right. Yeah.
Sadly, her daddy, he had a broken heart from that point on. He never recovered. He died. Mm-hmm. And he was just devastated. He just wanted Reva back.
Mm-hmm.
And they met with him because part of the rehabilitation in Africa is you meet with the victims' mm-hmm. families. And you see the pain that you caused. And he would not admit that he killed her intentionally. And he bawled and he cried and he told them it was an accident. And I'm so sorry. I did not mean to kill her. And they didn't believe him. And they sat and heard all the evidence.
I wouldn't believe a killer that killed my family.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, they sat and heard all the evidence, and they still believe that he did it intentionally. So unless they heard evidence we don't have mm-hmm. access to in the research, It was a parent's love, saying that he did it on purpose, because we've heard that before.
Yeah.
But if there was evidence that made it very plain, but we don't have it. So,
and plus his reaction too.
Yeah.
Isn't a man, I mean, the crying, the getting sick, the that's more remorse to me than he was, I'm going to lose my job, because he's already going to lose everything anyway. And he can't hardly talk about it. He lost
her. And he did have PTSD.
His grief.
For sure.
Yeah.
For killing her. Of course he did.
So, yeah.
I'm really shocked that this was, what year was it? 2008, 9, 12, whatever it was. And there isn't more evidence online. That's shocking to me.
It is to me, too. And I would love, if anyone has access to those files, I would love the court records. Anytime you have a case where the cops make mistakes from the start, it instantly taints the case. You know, you've got a cop that has an attempted murder charge himself. They don't wear the protective boots. You know, then you can't trust, okay, were the bullets actually the trajectory? Was there actually blood on the breath? You know, it just calls everything into question. And when you have cases where there's controversy, 9 times out of 10, it's because cops did not do their job.
I wonder if there's a site in that country
where you can
that you can
court.
Look up some of the court
stuff. You
would
think it would come up, because I did lots of Google searches.
Yeah, but they may not be able to release everything.
That's true.
Because there's a lot of things. And if there was 400 crime scene photos, for me, if my child was, I wouldn't want the pictures of my child out where people
can get them. You can see.
They're everywhere.
Yeah,
everything.
They are.
You can see where she was shot. I showed you the headshot.
Yes.
They don't cover the face.
Yeah.
So you see all that.
I would hate that.
Country, she was still beautiful.
Yeah, she's beautiful. And in that country, they're, the way they do it, unprotected foot gear.
But here's the question I have. You got all these other photos being released, but not the splatter on the duvet?
Yeah. They couldn't. And it was the police. One of them, a murder. He was up for attempted murder.
Okay, why was he not on probate? Why wasn't he?
The police officer?
Yeah, why was he even allowed?
Well, I don't know.
He should have been suspended until the outcome.
Rules, I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
They didn't have food gear in the crime scene.
Susan was trying to, she was wondering why he was even allowed as part of that case. If he had the
under suspicion or whatever,
the,
murder.
Basically, she doesn't know, nor do I, when the police officers who did the case were charged with the attempted murder. She was thinking that it was during that.
Right.
Before.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. And the I thought I had it in my notes. It must be in the research where the other shooting that he was involved in, they were at a restaurant, and for some reason, I can't remember, the friend handed his weapon to Pistorius, and when Pistorius took it, he accidentally shot the weapon, and he either shot his friend's foot or someone that was in the restaurant.
But he supposedly is a skilled...
Exactly. That's why I say he shouldn't have had a... He was an idiot with the guns. I don't know what his problem is. It's not that easy to shoot a gun. Now, if you file things down and have a hair trigger, absolutely. So I don't know if that was the case, or if you have a revolver. But if you got a 9mm semi-automatic, it's not that hard. It's not that easy to shoot that gun.
You and have to pull the trigger.
I am extremely cautious when I hand my weapon to someone.
Well, we don't know what weapon
it
was.
You know, I take out the clip, I open it, I make sure it's empty, and then it's pointed toward me as I hand it over. That's what you're supposed to do.
But no, what I'm saying is if, because the appeal was, and why they won it, was because he had training.
I know.
To carry a weapon, to shoot a weapon, but yet he made that mistake.
Well, he had the training.
Right. Yeah. So if you're trained, that's a, I don't see it being, I don't see it.
People are trained.
What?
Him making that mistake.
Oh, to kill her?
No, to accidentally shoot someone's foot.
No.
Oh, well, that was what happened.
It was an accident,
That's why I say he shouldn't have had a weapon.
You've seen people do training, and they are all the time. The joke is they go to college and know nothing. You know, you can go to training, doesn't mean you're going to be good at it.
I think people can get too comfortable with weapons and too careless, which he had to be a risk taker to a degree, and because of all he achieved, his running, all of that. So I could see that happening, but I don't, I just don't like the fact that we're at the same place where we started.
Where we started.
Mom's innocent, Susan's guilty, me and you're like, man, it could go either way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some listeners can
help us out.
But help out.
Well, so I have to say this guilty or not guilty season was a fun one. And it's interesting because, you know, we've discussed when we started our podcast that we did not want just a normal crime discussion podcast. And so our goal has always been red flags, safety, how people can be careful, right? And then our mini series, which is now a mini series.
Right.
this, you know, we like neat and tidy. That's why we went with the goal we have, because we didn't want to do unsolved. But I can tell you, after doing these guilty or not guilties, that I can see how unsolved cases become very fascinating for podcasters. So I don't know if we're going to have more of those, but I do know we're going to maintain our goal to help people out there be safe. But we may have to throw in a few.
And smart and not a victim. Yeah.
And you got to be rude too.
Right.
Okay. I don't have mine. That's fine. Outline of a Murder is a Mr. Joseph production. What do you think, Joseph?